About a year and a half ago, might have been 2 years ago, two of my dear friends from up around Ebenezer way came to church on this same youth service morning or church camp morning, and we did what we did. The church was full, and I could, I sat there and I was going, oh my gosh, what are they thinking? And I looked back and I could see every time we got loud, you know, they kind of cringed a little bit. When it was over with, one of them met me at the door, and I'm not going to call her name, and she said, son, what kind of church are you pastoring? So, Janet, no, we're not always this way, I promise you. We're just having a little fun this morning. But now is certainly the serious part of the service, and we certainly desire your prayers. Let's, for just a little while, draw in the wonderings of our minds. We're living in a day and a time, and I really believe this. Every Sunday we meet, it is essential to hear from God. And I don't know how you feel about it. For me, it's this way from behind the pulpit. It's always new and fresh, and a lot of these things that God puts on our heart to preach, certainly as we're preaching them, they're hitting their mark, and you see a lot of tears a lot of times and brokenness. And I'm glad that the husbandman must first be partaker of the fruit. And what that means is, as God gives a message, I've got to eat it too. And it has to incorporate itself in my life too. And no different this morning. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me two places. And really, if you guys will trust me, let me read the 11th chapter, 28th verse, where Jesus said this in the Gospel of Matthew. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I want you to turn with me to the 5th chapter of the book of Galatians. Galatians in the 5th chapter, 1st verse. Read a few verses here. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Be not entangled again, notice this phrase, with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of none effect unto you whosoever are justified by the law. You are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus circumcision, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. And then over in the 14th verse of that 5th chapter, for the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, God, as we come to you, the most precious name ever uttered by lips, let me in the name of Jesus. God, how thankful we are to have this opportunity. Lord, how thankful we are that we can still gather and worship together. And Lord, we see so many cities and places around our great nation where they're not able to gather together. And Lord, not able to worship. And Father, let us not take this privilege, God, any other way than as the great blessing that it is. Father, again this morning, where, God, I'm unable, I know you're able. God, cleanse me of sin. Lord, deliver me of self or any thought that I have. And God, speak to us. We need to hear what thus saith the Lord this morning. God, we're so thankful that you made us free from the bondage of sin, and we're in the liberty of the sons of God, been saved by grace. Now, maybe there's somebody here, God, that's been entangled, and now they're in the yoke of bondage. God, I pray, send deliverance this morning that we might be able to say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. We ask this in Christ's name and for our sakes. Amen and amen. The book of Galatians is one of the strongest books of doctrine that Paul wrote unto the early churches. Galatian church was formed in the 16th chapter of the book of Acts, where Paul and Silas were passing through. They came upon a group of people that were not Jews. They were pagans, really, and began to preach unto them Christ. And these people believed and got saved. They were baptized into the church, and there They started a church. Now notice, the book of Galatians is to churches, not unto one church. Now I know that we're one church, but there are several different bodies, but they were all having the same problem. See, here are these people that had never been raised in church. They didn't know the Old Testament. They had no idea of what the law was. All they had heard was the gospel of Christ. They had believed it under the saving of their soul. Conviction had come and they believed and they were saved. And then you got a bunch of pagans who've been saved by the grace of God. They have no idea how church ought to work. They have no idea of the structure of the church. Matter of fact, this was one of the earth. They didn't know really, if you'll have it this way, what they were doing. All they had was the Word of God and a Spirit-filled preacher, and all they could do is go from what God was giving them moment for moment, hour for hour. Let me say this. Wouldn't it be good to fall back into that time of innocency where we could just worship God as the Spirit gave utterance, not the way that we've learned to worship God? And let me say this. I thank God that we've had some instruction over our lives and over the years. Don't take me the wrong way. There's a happy medium, but if we're not careful, we structure worship and we structure God into this way that we've been taught, and we're not willing to turn loose and allow God to move in our lives. And let me say this, brothers and sisters, sometimes it's easier to see God move in the life of somebody who's young and somebody who's ignorant than it is some of us who've been raised in the church all of our lives. Why? We've learned God and we've learned to worship a certain way. Now let me say this. I'm happy with the way we've learned. I'm happy that there have been churches that have come before us. But we're talking about a group of people here who had no idea of what they were doing. They had to do it by following what was being preached and by what was going on inside their heart. Now, what happened? They got saved and they were working and laboring. And all of a sudden, the Judaizers, the Jewish Christians, or people who called themselves Christians, they begin to come into the church and say, you know what? You're not really a Christian because you don't do this. You're not circumcised. That means you're not really a child of God. See, in the Old Testament, circumcision on a man was the mark of God. It was proof that person was God's. It was an outward mark. But here, the Holy Ghost of God, by their profession of faith, had circumcised their heart. And in this world today, we're so worried about what things look like on the outside. But what God is concerned about is what's going on down on the inside. And we look at people and we say, well, they're not like we are. They don't have what we have. I'm going to tell you something, brothers and sisters. We've got to be really, really careful, because if we're not careful, we'll be tangled up and it'll become a yoke of bondage in our lives. Do you not realize this? My anger and my bitterness can be a bondage and a yoke for my life. It can keep me yoked down. It can keep me bound down. You know, whenever I was a young feller, we'd go out in the woods and we were always playing out in the woods. And anybody know what a sawbriar is? You get caught up in them old sawbriars. You couldn't see them. They kind of camouflage and get one wrapped around your leg, and you try to get out of it without it really ripping and cutting on you. And before long, you get tangled up in it. I want to say this. If we're not careful in the day and age that we live, church, we're going to get tangled up in something that's going to cause us nothing more than pain. It won't unite us. It'll divide us. Listen, I want to tell you this. In the house of God, this is more than a political movement. And I know I get into this every Sunday, but we need to hear direct and listen. It's not about the politics of somebody. It's about what's in their hearts. We're tangled up in the yoke of bondage. If I get angry with my wife and I let that thing go long enough, it begins to entangle our relationship. Listen, if I have trouble with my friend and boo-boo, if we don't work it out, it'll become an entanglement. It'll become a yoke of bondage. It can get to the place to where somebody that I dearly love like you or Charles or Wes, and I can name anybody in the church and put you in that place, it can cause such a difference or such a division that when I see you coming. I want to go in the other, and I made mention of that last Sunday. I want to go in another direction because you know what? Our fellowship has been broken. Our fellowship has been suffered and now, or has been severed. And now the feelings that I once had to, or for you and to you, have been changed. Let me say this. The love of God is greater than the emotion of the moment and the hour. It's greater than the tribulation of a friendship or a marriage. Listen, here they were, didn't know what they were doing. Now, be honest with me, you ever get involved in something, you don't know what you're doing. If you're married, you can say amen to that. This little old girl, red-headed beauty, stole my heart. I just had to be with her. We got married. I didn't know what in the world I was getting into. She didn't either. Thank God. Ignorant on both sides. But you know what? I've come to realize, and this is a morbid way to look at it. This is what my daddy says all the time. He said, son, we learn all of our lives and then we die. But there's some truth to that. We're always learning. Let me tell you something, man. The moment you think you've got her figured out, you've lied to yourself. You're a fool. Ladies, you think you've got us figured out, but you really don't. But he said, stand fast in liberty wherewith you've been set free. I read to you where Christ said, come unto me. And here's the thing. When we're saved, now let me ask you this, those of you that have been saved, can you go back to what it felt like the day the Lord saved your soul? You remember how free you felt and how clean you felt and how unlabored and how, you know, you had the peace of God. And somewhere in our Christian walk and our Christian experience, we've allowed people and we've allowed ourselves to throw other things on top of what really matters. And it begins to choke the life out of our salvation. And it's not ours, it's God's. How long has it been since you've enjoyed the liberty of your salvation? And let me say this, listen, God didn't save us to give us the liberty to go out and live in sin. God didn't save us so we can go out and live any way we want to. But I'm going to tell you this, He saved us and put something in us that gives us the liberty. I can do all things through and in Christ Jesus. And I know I've passed from death unto life, and the fact that I love the brethren and His commandments are not grievous unto me. Get to where we live it, not because we have to, but because we want to. Here these Judaizers are, and they're saying, you know what? You hadn't been circumcised. You ain't like we are. You're not a part of us. You don't have what we've got. I'm going to tell you something, brothers and sisters. God weighs the heart. God sees the heart. And God knows what you've got and God knows who you are. And you know what? Sometimes have you ever misjudged anybody? All right, now here we go. Preacher, we ought not judge nobody. Well, amen. But now here's something else. We ought not turn our blind eye to things that are going on around us. Listen, we've got to be able to look at somebody and love them and see through their faults and love them. But at the same time, listen, God still hates sin. God is still against sin. And somehow we've got to learn how to divide the sin from the sinner. How do we do that? We've got to be able to love them through the love of Christ. And just because they've got sin in their lives doesn't mean that God is finished with them. Listen, you get in my closet, you're going to find some stuff that I don't want you to see. I've got stuff that I tuck back and I push back. And you don't know that side of me, but God knows it and I know it. And I still struggle with some stuff. But I get comfort in knowing this. God begun a work in me and God's going to finish the work that He started. Is anybody else in the house of God? God ain't done with you yet. You ain't who you want to be. You ain't who you ought to be. But God is still working in you. Church ain't a place for the perfect. Church is a place for the sinner whom God is working on. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith you've been set free. I'm going to tell you, there have been things unleashed in the church and on the church like we've never seen. Listen, if we allow politics to come into the door of this church, if we allow politics to divide us, and it's between you and God who you vote for, I'm going to say this, you better make sure you're voting for somebody who agrees with the Word of God to the best of their ability. And it's hard to find somebody. I understand all that, but I'm going to tell you, just because you vote different than I do, don't make you any less of a Christian than I am. And I may not understand you, and you may not understand me, but I can still love you, and we can work together, because the cause of Christ is greater than the politics of our day. It's getting lost in translation. We've got strong feelings and emotions toward things. And I love people that are passionate. I love people that are passionate about their position and have got the old backbone of the old proverbial saw log. But at the same time, there has to be the love that we have that coalesces us together and keeps us together. And he said, now stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Don't be entangled. Notice the word again. Has anybody ever got tangled up in something that you shouldn't have got tangled up in? Am I the only one in the house of God? He said, don't be tangled in the yoke of bondage again. Anybody in here besides your pastor feel like it's me, Lord, again and again and again and again? Anybody ever feel like you've got that weakness in your life and that place? And let me tell you this, we can't justify our sin with God. The worst thing we can ever do is try to justify our sin. What we need to do is go to He who died and shed His blood and let that blood run over our sin and let it cleanse us. Anybody in the house of God got the want to's? I want to do better. I know I need to do better. I'm going to tell you, it's more than a want to. It's more than a need to. What's inside of you, if you've truly been saved, has got to prove it's greater than what's in the world. And I so often find myself tangled up again. My prayer life so often sounds something like this. Lord, it's me again, and I've said it again, or I've done it again. Tell me, I'm not by myself. You know what becomes our yoke then? We carry, and we're yoked to shame. Anybody ever ashamed? We carry around the yoke of shame. We carry around that yoke of feeling bad about what we've done and all these different things. I've seen Christians that I know at one time they loved the Lord as much as anybody in this world get tangled up in something and carry around the guilt. Does anybody ever been... Has anybody ever been yoked to guilt? See, you look at me a certain way. And I wish I was what you looked at me as. But I'm not. Oh, I mess up. I do. And I don't want this to be one of those things that gives anybody the right. It don't give you the right to do anything. Listen, I'm ashamed. And I do, I mess up and I carry that guilt, and sometimes I come in the door, you don't know this, but I come in the door of the church and I go, God, I don't know how you can use me. Y'all ever felt that way, gentlemen? And I'm yoked, and I'm going to tell you, that guilt and that shame is a heavy load to bear. Oh, it just... At times, you know, we find ourselves running for the Lord, but when I'm dragging around my cart of guilt and shame, it's sometimes it's so heavy. and I trudge along. And then Jesus says, come unto me. Just learn of me. That my yoke is easy and my burden's light. That yoke, and some of you, some of you older fellas ever plowed a team of mules. Back in the Old Testament days, they would yoke their oxen. It's a big old wood block thing that went around the neck and it tied teams together. They'd be yoked together, and boy, if you had two oxen or two mules that were pulling in the same direction, you had somebody that would work and could get some. Is it any wonder so often in revival, you'll hear some old precious deacon or some old man of God say, and Lord, we pray, yoke them together. Or as a pastor of a church, we want the pastor and the church to be yoked together. You know what that means? That means that we're pulling in the same direction. But when I got yoked to Jesus, all that guilt and all that shame and all that stuff that I've been carrying around, He removes it from my life and my cart gets a little bit lighter. And by the way, I'm not pulling it by myself. You wonder why people are so miserable in this life. They're pulling around their mistakes and their shame and their broken lives and their messed up marriages and all their failures, and they can't go or get past what they're pulling around. And here Jesus is saying, come unto me. Church, we've got the greatest message that's ever been sent from heaven. Our Savior bids everyone ever who so will come unto me. And when He starts pulling, things start changing for the better. You know, you used to, in the old-fashioned weddings, you would hear that word yoke in a marriage. Paul said in one place for unbelievers and believers not to be unequally yoked together. When Tina and I married and said I do in front of the Lord, vowed unto God, we became a pulling team. Now I'm going to tell you something. Young men, listen. I want you to hear me. And young ladies, listen. Give me attention just 1 minute now. Don't you ever marry somebody that ain't pulling in the same direction you are. I've watched over it years and years trying to serve the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You take a little old woman that's trying to pull her family toward God and a man that all he wants to do is sit on the couch and not do it. I'm going to tell you, she gets tired and worn out, and before long, their love begins to grow cold. Or you take a man who wants to serve the Lord and the woman don't want to go and serve. Listen, we've got to be yoked together, pulling in the same direction. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith you've been set free, and don't be tangled in the yoke of bondage. Here's what they were wanting to do. They were wanting to come in and say, all right, all of you that have been saved, you men, if you'll get circumcised, then you'll be a child of God. This, we think we only have trouble in the church today. They've had trouble in the church all their life. Since the beginning of the church. And there were some that said, now wait just a minute. Why should we add anything to it? They're saved. God's filled them with His Spirit. They've been baptized. They're just like we are. And then you had those legalistic, look on the outside, letter of the law that killeth people. They said, no, we need them to be circumcised or they'll never be a part of what we are. It got so heated, it went to headquarters up in Jerusalem. Deacon, I'm going to say this. Whenever something gets heated, you can't understand it, you can't come, get on your face and pray and talk to the Lord. They got on their face and they begin to pray and they all come up with the same conclusion. Ain't it funny how the Spirit of God brings unity and cohesion in the body of Christ? And they came up and said, you know what? This is the way we feel. This is what the Lord has revealed. We don't need to add anything else to what they have. Just not to eat things that have been sacrificed to idols. That's all. And that's all. That's all they need. he said this, and I'll close here in just a minute. He said, Christ has become of no effect unto you whosoever are justified by the law. Now, all right, here we come. Here's the difference between religion and true Christianity. Religion says, yep, you need to be saved. You got to be born again. You got to be baptized. You got to have, and you got to have this, this, and this. The Bible says we're saved by grace through faith plus nothing. No, they've got to do this and that and the other. I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, we're saved by the grace of God. It's not a word, it's a gift. Lest any man should boast. He goes on to say this. He said, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Are you righteous? Oh, that's a loaded question, isn't it? See, you... There's a difference between being righteous and self-righteous. If you'd have spoke up and said, oh yes, I'd said you're self-righteous. You know what true righteousness is with God? True righteousness is knowing that you have absolutely nothing to offer. You have absolutely nothing that is within yourself to offer God to make you righteous. That you are made righteous by your faith in the blood that Jesus shed on Calvary. And our righteousness comes through our faith in the blood that He shed. Our righteousness is imputed by God to us through faith. And he says, I'm waiting on this righteousness to be fulfilled in my life. He says, I know God is working. I'm not there yet. I'm not. And you know what the truth is? God will be working till the day we die. He said, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? In one place he said, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, having begun in the Spirit, you now made perfect in the flesh. When the church starts adding things onto the checklist of what a Christian is, I'm telling you, we're putting a yoke on them that they cannot live up to. But I'll also say this, grace is not a get out of jail free card. If we've been saved by grace, we ought to live for God. There ought to be a difference in our life. People ought to know us by the love we have. And there ought to be something clean in us. He says, this persuasion comes not of him that calls you a little leaven. Leaven's a whole lump. Here's how we get entangled. It starts with just a little. You notice that? Sin's that way. The old flesh says, oh, just a little. Nobody will ever know it, and it's just a little. The flesh is never satisfied with little. The flesh will come back and say, well, a little more. And you ain't going to hurt anybody or hurt anything. Just a little more and a little more. And it starts with a little and it becomes a lot. And by the time you realize it, you're tangled up. You can't enjoy the freedom and the liberty of being saved. You can't enjoy the joy of God's salvation in your life. And you're sitting there all tangled up going, how did I get here? It started with a little. Strife in a church, it always starts with just a little. Trouble in a marriage, it always starts with just a little. He said, I have confidence in you through the Lord that you be none otherwise minded. He that troubleth you will bear his judgment, whosoever he may be. And brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I suffer yet persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. When we put anything in front of what Jesus done on Calvary, here's the thing about Calvary, guys. This is why this political stuff, I want you to vote your heart and do what you need to do. And I understand that we want somebody with godly morals and godly principle. I'm going to tell you something. The Republican Party and the Democratic Party or whatever party you identify with, that's not the party I'm concerned with. It's the cross of Calvary. It's the message of Jesus. And if we're not careful, all this political stuff is going to drown out the voice of the church. And what should the voice of the church be saying? You must be born again. Come unto Him who loves you. He said, I wish they were cut off from you. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty, not to use it as occasion to the flesh, but to love and to serve one another. I'm closing. Verse 14, for the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. How do we fulfill the law? Well, we're no longer under the law, we're under grace. What fulfills the law is that we love God with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. And then we love one another. Religion is going to destroy the church if we're not careful. We don't need religion. We need the love of God in Christ. We need true Christianity, not where I throw on you my boundaries and what I think a Christian ought to be, but where we give each other the liberty to grow in the grace of God. And if you're doing something I don't agree with, listen, in your life, I need to pray for you and not throw every conviction I've got on you and try to make you live the life that God has called me to live. You said, well, wait a minute, we're all called to live the same life. Yes, we are, but some of us are in different processes and different places. You can't expect a 21-year-old man to live up to what a 76-year-old man been serving the Lord all of his life, going to church all of his life. He don't have those experiences with God. He don't have those experiences with the church. We've got to give them time and encourage them and grow them in the grace of God. And when they mess up, we got to do what old Jay Loman, an old deacon where I grew up, used to do to me. I come in on a Sunday morning, and Lord, I was 16, 17 years old. He had the ability to look into my soul. And he would not let me look away. You wonder why I make you look me in the eyes, young men and ladies, when we shake hands. And he'd stick his hand out there, Brady, and he'll lock down on me, son. He said, what you been into, son? I said, oh, a little of this and a little of that. He said, well, I noticed you looking away from me. What are you ashamed of? I kept that between me and Jesus. When we get to the place to where, first of all, we're accountable to Him who died and rose again for us, and we're accountable to each other. The way I live matters. These young men are watching. These young ladies are watching. The way we serve. I tell you what, church, and I'm closing, stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. I don't know that there's ever been a more important time for the way these young people are watching the church and what's going on right now. They are watching, seeing how we handle this stuff. There's some that say, well, we need to shut the doors, do this, that, or the other, whatever. There's some that say there's nothing that's more essential than what we're doing right now, coming together and worshiping. Let me ask you this. Do you truly have liberty in your walk with God? Can you truly stand there and say, I am free, and I am free indeed? Are you tangled up in some stuff you need to get untangled from? Are you yoked down with something that's just pulling you down? And it's a heavy weight. And you know what? People ask us, how you doing? And I'm doing fine. And really down on the inside, we're tangled up. We're dying. The life's being choked out of us. What God does expect from you and me, and what brings healing in our lives, is when we're willing to be just as much as possible honest with God. If you're tangled up this morning, you don't have to be. And I'm going to tell you this. God help us, church, if the church ever gets tangled up in self-righteousness, we will die from the inside out. It's not about self-righteousness. It's about His righteousness. This morning, if you need to pray, whatever you need to do, you follow the Lord. Go ahead, Chris.